Now, this will be an event they'll remember throughout the rest of their ministry. I still remember mine. I'm not as old as Pastor Stephen in the ministry. In other ways, I'm older, but in the ministry, he got quite a head start on me. I didn't go to seminary until I was 26 years old, and I was ordained at 27 years old, and I still remember that event like it was yesterday. In fact, Pastor Wally, the fellow that preached my ordination message, was our director of missions. He was pushing 80 when he preached that sermon. Terrific guy, great preacher, and here's what he said. He said, "Now, David, when I was a young man, a woman came to me, and she said, 'You're going to be a fine preacher someday.' And before I knew it, somebody came up to me after a service one time and said, 'I sure would like to have heard you in your prime.'" He said, "I have no idea what happened in between." I still remember that story, and I've been trying to treasure every moment and every week and every year because I took him at his word and I believed what he said. But what he said to the church, to New Zion Baptist Church, on a Sunday night in November in 1992, probably not more than 50 people there, me and my family and some friends, Pastor Stephen was there, and it was a powerful, wonderful, exciting time. And what he said to the church set me up for success in ministry at New Zion Baptist Church, and then from there laid a foundation even to hear it at Champion Forest Baptist Church. I appreciated the charge he gave to the church. And I'd like to say a few words of encouragement to the body, to Champion Forest Baptist Church, and through us to wherever God leads you guys in your future. Spencer's heading off into the guard, that the church might be for these guys and their families what God's church ought to be to its ministers and leaders. Let me give you just a quick charge. And by the way, I don't know if you noticed, but on the back of your prayer guide are the notes for these two messages, Pastor Stephen and I combined. If you want to fill in those blanks, you'll have to catch Pastor Stephen in the hallway to get the first three if you didn't get them, but we'll be happy to share them with you. We want you to remember the words in the message. Let's answer the question, who are these ministers among us? Who are they? Well, the scripture uses three words for what we might refer to as vocational ministers, or in a generic, broader term, pastors. The word in Philippians 1:1 is the word episkopos. It means bishop, oftentimes translated as overseer. It speaks to the administrative function of those who serve in vocational ministry, organizing, directing, leading, administrating. Acts 4:23 and many other places through Acts, the word presbyteros is used. It's often translated elder. It doesn't necessarily mean age. It has more really to do with spiritual maturity, which you would expect from those who are called out, set apart, and sent to serve. In Ephesians 4:11, we have a different word. It's the word poimen. In the Greek, it means shepherd or pastor. And we get from that notion that the leader of the flock is to lead, feed, and protect the flock of God, as you heard Pastor Stephen quote from 1 Peter. So there are biblical offices, the office of deacon, which we have ordination for typically in November, and we typically have a few ministers during that time as well. But in this case tonight, we're talking about not the office of diakonos or diakonoi, the deacon. We're talking about elders or vocational ministers, overseers, pastors, shepherds among us. But what do they do? What do these ministers among us do? Well, let me give you some of the possible suggestions. There are others. Number one, they follow. They follow. And that's an important designation. I think we ought to probably start there because good leaders are first good followers. They're good followers. You remember that when Moses came down from the mountain of God, the people looked at him and they saw that he had what? Been with the Lord. He had a countenance and a radiance about him that gave away his association. He'd been in the very presence of God. Paul mentions as well, and you have the note in 1 Corinthians chapter 11:1. He says this. He says, "Be imitators of me, follow me as I am of Christ. Follow me as I follow after Christ." So good leaders are first good followers, and they're followers of Christ Jesus. That's an important distinction, that we first follow if we're to lead, especially the flock of God, the body of Christ. So these leaders, church, are first followers of Christ. I would suggest that you have every right to expect that those who are ministers among you are first followers among you of Jesus. First. We say to the ministry staff all the time, guys, don't get in the front of the line. Don't sit at the head of the table. Don't park up next to the building. You're not to be first because the first among us shall be last and the last shall be first. Let the people go first. There's one exception to that rule and policy, and that is that when it comes to your own personal walk with the Lord, in that regard, you got to be first. You got to be first. First a follower of Jesus before you can lead other followers. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So expect your leaders to follow hard after Christ. Secondly, they not only follow, but then they have the privilege and the responsibility to lead. We might even say their authority to lead comes having followed first the Lord. They lead. Now, if you've studied God's Word, you know that without a revelation or vision, the people perish or cast off restraint. It's the spiritual leaders among us who have the responsibility under God to discern God's will, God's direction, God's way, God's when, God's timing, and then lead the folks. The pastors, the elders among us, the shepherds, the overseers have the responsibility to feed, lead and feed the flock. We do that through teaching the Word of God, through discipleship and encouraging, through sometimes challenging, and yes, with the Word of God, sometimes even correcting. That's the role of the spiritual leaders of the flock. We also are commanded, as Ephesians 4:11-12 tells us, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Now, somewhere along the way, some churches have sort of inverted that. Somewhere along the way, some ministers have inverted that, and they have changed the language to read something more the lines of that the ministry vocation professional is to do the work of ministry, and everybody else is to stand back and watch and cheer him or her on. But the Scripture says God has given pastors, elders, overseers, shepherds for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Now, that's not to say that the ministers stand back and watch you work, but they give oversight and direction through training, equipping, and ministering and putting together these processes, these programs, these activities, these strategies, and then they get right in there and work right along beside you. Church, we have what we call here a player-coach model. We don't want any of our professional ministry staff to sit back and point the finger and watch you work. We want them to help organize and orchestrate, and then we want them to jump right in there and go with you. Because we think that great leaders are those who are great servants. Where'd we get that idea? We got that from Jesus. You're exactly right. So these overseers are to follow, to lead. That includes, of course, protecting the unity of the church. And that includes, of course, ensuring doctrinal integrity, that the Word of God is preached in truth, and that we hold to those doctrinal positions and theological convictions that keep us in the place we ought to be in relationship to the Lord. Let me suggest one more thing. What do? They serve. They serve. They follow, they lead, and they serve. I love the example Pastor Stephen mentioned of Jesus at the Last Supper, who very simply, very obviously, and very intentionally laid down his title and took up his towel. The church, you have a wonderful heart for service and ministry, and I think you have inherited that to some degree from the Lord, from the work of the Holy Spirit, and from nearly 45, almost 50 years of leadership that preceded any of us who are here now, who modeled servant leadership for you. That's what spiritual leaders do. They serve. They don't shirk their responsibilities as leaders, but they lead in such a way that they qualify as servants. I say to our deacons quite often, you are servants who lead. We say to our ministry staff, you are leaders who serve. Which is it? It's both. Jesus modeled both perfectly. Perfectly. Leaders in the church are to serve. Serve the Lord first and foremost. We answer to an audience of one. Serve the needs of the body of Christ as a whole, secondly, and then finally serve the individual members of the body as those needs arise. So what do? They follow. What do? They lead. What do? They serve. And how can I help, you might say? I'm a member. How can I help? Well, let me step out of my role for a minute and let me answer that question as a member. I was a member, by the way. I did the math this afternoon. I was a member of a church for longer than I've been a leader in a church. Like I said, I made it seminary a little later than most. Stephen got there at 14. I was a little later. He really didn't, but spiritually wise, he had a head start. And I got there when I was 26. So I was a member of a church, worked in the RV business, as you know, put in 70 hours a week down at the dealership and rush into church at night, tired, needing a word from the Lord. I was a member of a church. So let me speak as a member of a church to members of the church having had the experience as a pastor of a church, let me tell you how you can help these guys and all of the others they represent who serve in these various roles and functions in ministry. Number one, I bet you know what it is. Pray. Pray for them every day. Remember, the work of ministry is spiritual work. It cannot be done with natural energy, natural wisdom, natural effort. It cannot be done. Ministry is spiritual work, so we must have spiritual resources. How do we appropriate spiritual resources? Through prayer. Our weapons are not carnal. They are spiritual for the tearing down of strongholds. We go forward in ministry because you have gone on your knees in prayer. So pray for them every day. Make that your commitment. Please, we're urging you. Some days when I wake up with a headache or don't feel good, I blame you. I say, the people down at the church didn't pray for me today and I'm sick. No, I'm just kidding. I don't blame you. But I do count on you, as does every other minister who serves in ministry among you. We count on your prayers. Somebody once said to me, Pastor, we need a better pastor at our church. And I said, you know what? If you pray for years, you may get one. If you pray for your pastor to be a better pastor, you may get a better pastor. And let me tell you something else you'll get. You'll get better too, because prayer has that effect, you know. Have you ever noticed that? It's hard to complain about somebody when you're praying for them. It's hard to be mad at somebody when you're praying for them. Have you noticed that? So if you get a little out in the sorts, you know, kind of a little sideways with a ministry leader in your area of ministry or with your pastor, not that that would ever happen, no. But if you do, please go first to your knees in prayer and talk it out with the Lord. I'll be better for it. You'll be better for it. The body will be better for it. Number one, pray for your ministers every single day. Those of you here tonight are going to pray in just a moment as we lay hands on these fellas and pray. You're going to say in that moment not only a prayer, but hopefully this will make a mark in your mind, and in the coming days, weeks, months, and years, you'll remember to pray for these ministers as well as the rest of our ministry staff. Number one, pray for them every day. Number two, encourage them in the Lord. Encourage them in the Lord. Everybody needs encouragement. Would you say amen? We all tend to be discouraged. But there's a fact and reality about ministry that at times it can be, well, a little discouraging. Now, I'm not going to tell you it's bad. In fact, Lifeway just did a study I read just today. I saw it. 1,000 pastors were interviewed, and 98% of them said, it is a privilege to serve in ministry. 98%. I feel sad for the two who said otherwise, but 98 out of 100 said it's a privilege to serve in ministry. So ministers aren't typically disappointed, discouraged, despairing. They're not typically angry or mad or disillusioned. They're not typically bitter and unforgiving. Typically, pastors are privileged to serve. But the same study said 55% of those same pastors indicated that it is very easy to be discouraged in ministry. They're saying we love it, we are privileged to do it, but the truth is it can at times be discouraging. I have a suggestion. I read something in a devotional last week, and I'm still thinking about it. It made an impact on me, and here's what it is. The devotional, the pastor I was reading, he said this, you know, ministry is a work of the heart. We minister from the heart. We don't minister from the head, and we don't do things with our hands. Outside, our heart is engaged in everything we do in ministry. Well, if you're a carpenter and your tools are in disrepair or broken, you have a hard time working. So imagine how hard it is to work in ministry with a broken heart if your heart is your tool for ministry. So when we're disappointed, when we don't feel like we measure up, or when someone lets us down, or when we face criticism or disappointment, ministers can tend to be a little discouraged. Now listen, that's never going to change. That's not going to go away. What we've discovered is church would be a great place to work if it weren't for all the people. I'm kidding, of course. But wherever there are people, guess what we'll have? People! And we're people too, so we know what it is to be a people. That's not going to change. All of those possibilities for discouragement will always be with us. So let me tell you what we have to do. Do you know what we have to do? We have to balance the discouragement with encouragement. That's what I want to charge you as a church to do. Not only praying for these folks, taking them to the Lord, write them a note. Send them a message. Stop by and just encourage them. You know, a $5 gift card to Starbucks blesses me. I'm not asking for it. I'm not telling you to do it. I don't go to Starbucks anymore, so don't do it. I'm just telling you something small and seemingly insignificant to most people, to a minister who's a little discouraged, who just had to deal with an email or a phone call or a meeting or a letdown or a disappointment or an unmet dream or realization. You know what? Just something little from you goes so far to encourage the heart, because we minister from the heart. It's our tool. And when it's broken, it's hard to do the job. Pray for us. I told you I was going to step out of this and act like a member, didn't I? I'm sorry. Pray for them. Pray for them. Encourage them. And last, and wouldn't this be obvious? Follow them. Follow their lead as they follow Christ. That's God's way. It's not about the ego. It's not about arrogance. It shouldn't be about those things. It shouldn't be about our preferences. It shouldn't be about our personal convictions. What it should be about is God is leading us so that we can lead you. The ministry staff is following the Lord so that you can follow them with integrity and with character and with honesty and with joy. It's God's way. It's not about value. It's not about who's more important. It's how God has ordained this to work in a way that works. It's why the scripture says, and very clearly, obey your leaders and submit to them. Hebrews 13:17. Guys, if y'all remember this and quote it often, it'll get you in all kind of trouble. But I'm stepping out as a member, and I can say, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give him an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Make it easier for them, is what he's saying. Don't make it hard on them. Make it easy for them to lead you. They're going to give an account for your soul. Make it easier for them. Pray for us, he says, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. Hey, I bet you would agree with me when I say, followers are better followers if they have better leaders. Would you say that's true? It's easier to follow a good leader, right? Can I tell you the opposite is also true? Leaders are better leaders when they have better followers. Did you know that? I know. Followers are better followers when they have better leaders, but leaders are better leaders when they have better followers. It's true. I know it sounds like the whole chicken and the egg thing. Who's going to go first? We've had this discussion for years at my house. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know. God made them both. It's important for the chicken to know that he's a chicken and the egg to know it's an egg. And the good news is better chickens lay better eggs and better eggs hatch better chickens, right? So it's important to know when you're a chicken and when you're an egg. And if everybody keeps that straight, we'll just get better and better and better and better, and there'll always be chicken to eat. I have completely lost you. You are laughing at me now, aren't you? Pray for me. Encourage me. And listen, follow your leaders. Follow your leaders. Because leaders are better leaders if they have better followers, and followers are better followers with better leaders. So whether you're leading or following, do what you're supposed to do. Stay in your lane. Honor the Lord. And as your leaders follow after Christ, you follow after your leaders. And can I just say, on behalf of our entire ministry staff and everybody here who has the privilege to serve at Champion Forest, you're amazing and wonderful followers. Wonderful followers. You really do make it so much easier to lead. And I want to say thank you. And I want to say for you guys, two of you are serving here and one of you got DNA with Champion Forest all over it. I pray over you guys, not a charge to you, that's already taken place, but I just hope and pray that you will have the privilege continually to serve among people like you're surrounded by tonight. And I want to charge the church, take ownership of these folks' ministry. Pray for them, encourage them, and follow them. They'll be better leaders if you'll be better followers.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things He created instead of Him. We have chosen to reject His authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things He created instead of Him, which is ultimately pointless given that He is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against Him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access Him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before He forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and He took upon our punishment on Himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in Him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without Him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.